You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini, educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm Podcast. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Mike Hanna. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Ken. Thank you.
Thanks so much for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Sure.
So Mike is out of Dallas, Texas. He's a principal at Investmark Mortgage. He's a real estate investor. He's a hard money lender. He's a mentor. He's a public speaker. Just since 2002, he's completed over 1,000 transactions. And here just recently, he was actually named to the Ethics Advisory Committee for the American Association of Private Money Lenders. That's a big deal, Mike.
Yeah, it's been an honor to be part of that. So
that's fantastic. Well, maybe you can take us all the way back to the beginning and tell us how you got started in real estate and how you got to where you are now.
Sure. I got started... Well, if I go back to the beginning, I'd have to say after the stock market crash of 2000, I decided that I was not going to put any more money into the stock market anymore. I wanted to get into real estate. I always had an interest in real estate. And over the next 2 years, I just did whatever I could to learn as much as I could about it. In probably around the end of 2002, I started buying some real estate with some partners, and over the next couple of years we bought more of just buying rental properties. In September 2003, I sort of had this just series of events, sort of life-changing events that happened, and they all culminated in like a one-week period. So in the first part of September, my wife and I, we moved to another house with our three-year-old daughter. I went to work the next day and lost my job. They actually cut our entire team. And the writing was kind of on the wall. We saw that, that the business just wasn't there anymore in the industry that I was in. And so, it was just kind of time to move on. 3 days later, my wife tells me she's pregnant with our second daughter.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, so it was just, you have all these things happen in 1 week, and you have to, I knew I had to make something work, and I didn't really have a plan at the time, but I knew I just wanted to continue real estate. I was not going to go back into the workforce. I wanted to be on my own, and so I started doing more real estate deals. I eventually went on my own and was doing deals by myself and started doing some, did a little bit of wholesaling. I eventually got into hard money just by accident. I had a guy that became a friend of mine. He was a wholesaler. He had sold me some deals, and he asked me if he could borrow some money to close a transaction that he was working on. And I said, sure, I'm happy to help you, any way I can. And he said, well, I'm going to pay you just like a hard money lender. And I asked him, I said, well, what's a hard money lender? And he explained it to me. And, then it just kind of went on from there. I did a loan for him, and we did more loans. And then I started, promoting it and advertising it, that this is what I do. And I started really slow. And, I wasn't trying to take on, a lot of clients. And in fact, I couldn't do that because I just didn't have the ability to do, too many loans. And eventually I was able to ramp up and raise some capital from different sources, and I'm still doing it today, and it's been a great business. I've grown it every year, and now I have a team of people that work for me that are great, and it's changed a lot over the years, but the fundamentals don't change, and the fundamentals of what we do here are still there. And the market that we're in right now in Dallas is really strong. We're also in the Austin market, and the Austin market is a very strong market as well. Central Texas, all these markets seem to be doing really well. I've been an investor, since that time, and have mainly, built a rental portfolio, single family and multifamily. And over the last couple of years, I've just been I've been focused on selling and not really acquiring more properties because the market here is just so strong. And, you know, I learned a long time ago in the stock market, hey, at some point you've got to take some money off the table and, you know, not, you know, wait around forever to do that. And, you know, wait through all these different market cycles. And so that's what I've been doing. I've been focusing on that, just very slowly, just selling off properties, really just as they become vacant. And so that's kind of been my strategy over the last couple of years. And to continue, you know, just building my hard money business and helping people, you know, just enable their success. I mean, that's really what we do in the hard money business is, you know, we help other people, you know, build portfolios. We help them generate cash by flipping properties. We do some transaction-based funding. So, you know, we do a little bit of everything in the hard money space.
And, you know, it'd be interesting to know how many folks started out as private lenders, because that's essentially what you were initially. You know, somebody came to you and said, hey, would you lend me some money? You said, okay. So essentially you're a private money lender, and then you sort of morphed into a true hard money lender. You know, it makes sense because you're coming from a standpoint of already understanding real estate investing because you were an investor yourself. And you sort of inched your toes in the water with private lending and then eventually became a true full hard money lender with a business behind it. I'd be curious how many hard money lenders started out that way.
Yeah, you know, I know a lot of hard money lenders around, and I'm actually friends with most of them that are, you know, my competitors. And it's kind of interesting because even though you're in a space that's very, very competitive, lots of people watch out for one another. You know, we know mm-hmm. who some of the bad apples are, and so, you know, in terms of lenders and in terms of borrowers. So, you know, you tend to watch out for one another. And the key, and this is something that I've told this numerous times, the key to being successful in the hard money space is not just starting out, you know, smaller as a private lender, but it's also having real estate investor experience. So mm-hmm. if you wholesale properties, if you've rented properties, if you flip properties, you know, those are things that you really need to have experience in. And I'd say, you know, several years of experience before you're really going to be an effective hard money lender. Because once you get to that point where you've done enough deals, you can quickly isolate whether your client is buying a deal that's going to make sense or not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to take you very long to figure it out.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, some, you know, historic property that's going to have a lot of problems, or it's, you know, a property that was built in the 50s that has a slab with, you know, with no rebar in it, or, you know, just all the little things that you see along the way that point to red flags in a deal. And that's really what you can only get that with experience in actually doing a number of deals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen it. I've seen it with other hard money guys that, you know, they're in the space as lenders. And they're doing some deals that I would never do just because I've had experience on the investor side, and I've seen those deals go south, and I've seen those deals have just, you know, tremendous problems for clients. And so sometimes, you know, it's best to just walk away. And I think that's why a lot of our clients use us, is because we have investor experience. Even the team I have around me, my business development people, both here and in Austin, are real estate investors. They have a rental portfolio. They have actually flipped property as well. And so, you know, when you combine all the years of experience that we have, you know, just as a company, I mean, it's over 35 years of real estate investor experience, not just, you know, hard money lending experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes all the difference in the world in terms of, you know, the value that you can bring to a client.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's same with us. So my primary business is real estate investing. We do a lot of flips. We do a lot of turnkey. But we've recently, in just the last 2 years, we started doing some private money lending as well, just out of our self-directed IRAs and whatnot. So it's nothing on a large scale. But I always look at it through the lens of, okay, if I had to take this house back, am I comfortable with it? Because I know real estate, especially in Atlanta, well enough to know whether it's a deal or not. And, you know, I can really even structure my terms that way, that even if, you know, even if I'm giving somebody 90 or even 100% financing, if I had to take this house back, can I run it through my machine and still spit it out on the other end and make money on it? And it's sort of a different lens than maybe somebody that doesn't have that investor experience.
Exactly. Ken, I totally agree. I mean, that's exactly how we look at every deal is, you know, if we had to take it back, what would we be in it for? What would you know, what could we really expect in terms of, you know, getting out of the deal? We're not a loan-to-own type operation. You know, the last thing we want to do is take a property back.
Sure.
Even though a lot of, you know, people may think that's the contrary. When you're in the hard money business, you're, you know, this is the, you know, the business that you kind of sign up for. It's really not. I mean, we don't want to get into any situation where we're, you know, a client's being put at risk and, you know, knowingly or unknowingly. But you've got to have that, that lens, like you talked about, that says, hey, you know what, this, if we have to take this thing back, then, you know, do we have other people that will buy this?
Yeah.
You know, are we going to be able to liquidate this and not lose money?
Exactly.
You know, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. The last thing you want to do is have to go through the rigmarole of taking a house back and taking title to it. And although in Texas, I'd be curious, I imagine in Texas, you could probably take title back pretty quickly in terms of
a
foreclosure.
Texas is very friendly in that way to lenders.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to give very much notice, and you can foreclose, you know, very quickly, especially on, you know, because these are all non-owner occupied. We're not talking about, you know, homeowners here.
Sure.
We're talking about people that are trying to, you know, flip a property and make some money, or, you know, trying to keep a property as a rental. And it's really the renters, you don't really see the, you know, clients that are buying rental properties getting into trouble, because most of the time we've got them approved already with another lender before we do the loan, unless they've already been approved by somebody else. So we're always going to go take that step first.
Mm-hmm.
With somebody who's going to, their exit strategy is to keep the property as a rental. It's clients that are flipping properties, that's where you have to have a little bit more scrutiny in the deal, because, you know, credit's not really as much of a factor as, you know, their income, their debt to income, their reserves, and those types of things that we look at. In addition to the deal, and does the deal, you know, does it make sense? Is the borrower going to, you know, is this something that's going to be pretty straightforward for them to complete and turn around and flip? Or is it, you know, is this going to be a big challenge, and, you know, it's going to take, you know, it's going to sit on the books for a long time?
Sure. You know, that is one of the beautiful things about a rental property. And even in our business, most of the houses we sell, or maybe half probably at this point in time, are turnkey houses, meaning we put tenants in place and then we sell them to investors. That's the beautiful thing, though, about a rental is, even if the thing doesn't sell, you know, as quickly as you want it to, typically that rent is covering even a hard money payment, which is nice. I mean, you're not, you know, we're on a flip. You could be hung out to dry, especially if it's a higher price point and you're just racking up interest and the thing's not selling. All of a sudden you're getting gobbled up, you know, by the hard money loan.
Absolutely. You know, and it's interesting because a lot of guys don't think about that, especially going into a deal on a rental. And they're, you know, you get some clients really, really focused on the cost of the hard money and how it's going to impact their cash flow. And it's like, no, you can't look at it that way. You've got to look at it as, this is just a transition loan. You're going to get in this loan. Your tenant's going to be making their payment until you refinance. I mean, you're probably going to have one payment if you do it right. You know, get the rehab done in 30 days or less, and then your tenant's making your payment until you refi. The cost in this thing is, you know, you're going to be able to recover your cost very, very quickly. One of the things that we do is, I've become, I don't want to say an expert, because, you know, there's always something new that you can learn, but I've become very good at protesting property taxes. I'm here in Texas.
Oh, really? Interesting.
I actually wrote this article, and I enhance it every year and, you know, distribute it to my clients and everybody in my contacts to show them how, hey, you can recover, like, a lot of your hard money costs just by protesting your property taxes. Because if a property that you buy is deeply distressed, well, then the value that it's assessed for is really not the value that it should be assessed for, right? It should be assessed for the value what you paid for it, right? You got a property assessed for $150,000 and you bought it for $75,000 because it's in shambles, and you need to go in and rehab it. Well, then you can go protest that, get the tax assessed value down, and get, of course, the amount of taxes that you have to pay reduced by half. And that's going to save you, you know, a tremendous amount. Sometimes you're talking several thousand dollars,
sure,
right, in a deal. And so, you know, so there's so many different tricks that you can do to not only just recover your hard money costs, but, you know, get out of the deal quick enough, get out quickly, you know, get into that permanent loan. We don't want to see you sitting in hard money any longer than you want to be. And so there's a lot of things that we do that we educate our clients on up front to say, hey, go do these things. You'll be out of the loan much quicker, and it's going to save you, you know, a lot of money. You're going to be cash flowing a lot more quickly if you do these things.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting along the same lines is in Georgia, they passed a law here a couple of years ago that the taxes have to be set at the sale price, which was huge because then automatically, you know, you're getting that reduction if you're buying it, you know, lower than what it was assessed. But the county's wised up. So the next year they're going to try to jack it right back up. But the other cool thing, I'm not sure if this is the same in Texas or not, but if you just the act of appealing it, the tax bill, even if you don't win or not, locks in that tax bill for the next 3 years. At least that's the way it is in Georgia. I'm not sure if it's similar in Texas.
It's a little bit different in Texas.
Okay.
So the way the law is written, the counties, they have to assess the property at least once every 3 years.
Okay.
But they could assess it every year. Mm. So, and we don't have a law that says, hey, whatever the sales price is, that's what the new assessed value is. Now, that would be great. But it sort of functions like that. You see that when you get your tax notices in the mail. Like if you sold a property, you know, sometimes you're still getting the notice. And you can see that the value has, or you can go online and see that the value's, you know, gone up to what the purchase price was.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a listed deal, right? That's really where you see it.
Sure. It's a great trick, you know, in terms of even selling hard money loans. Say, hey, do this, and this is going to cover your costs. That's great. So, you know, you've seen a lot of deals. Obviously, you've been involved in over 1,000 over the last 13 years or so. You've been an investor yourself. You've been on the hard money side, obviously, a lot of those deals. Is there a deal in your mind that stands out as like your best deal ever, one that was special in some way?
Absolutely. I did a deal, it was about a little over 4 years ago. I found this 50-unit apartment building. And it was during like sort of a, you know, a slump in the multifamily market at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I had done some marketing and I happened to have this lady call me and she had this horrible, I mean, just, it was just a terrible story, but it was one where, her husband had passed away. He had cancer and it was just a very, very sad story. And she's like, look, I've just got to get out of this thing. I've got to get out of this deal. The bank has already approved me for, a short sale. And I said, well, yeah, I'm very interested in it. She goes, well, how quickly can you close? And this was like November timeframe. And I said, well, you know, I can close it very, very quickly. I said, I told her I'm actually a lender. And I said, you know, I have resources to the capital. And so it's not not an issue. You know, we can take it down very, very, you know, very fast. And I said, so she told me a little bit about the deal. And I said, well, what is it approved for, you know, on the number side, you know, what did they approve? She says, well, she said, they're looking for just to get offers right now. And so I went over there and looked at it and, I submitted my offer and it was, you know, $475,000 for 50 units. And I told them I could close in like, you know, as soon as the title work is done. I wasn't even going to do any due diligence on it. It was such a, you know, I thought, hey, if I can get this deal, then whatever pops up, I'll be able to handle because I'm buying it cheap enough to
right.
where. And so I contacted this this friend of mine who, you know, gave me a lot of advice over the years. He says, absolutely, just buy it. He goes, don't worry about it. Just buy the thing. And he goes, did you go over and look at it? I said, I did. I went over and looked at it. I go, it looks fine. I really didn't see anything. You know, I'm sure we're going to have some tenant issues or whatever. But so I buy it. And, I finally close on it. It's right at the end of the year when I closed on it, like almost the last business day of the month. And I get it done. And, you know, we go in and there really wasn't a whole lot of work that needed to be done to it. I mean, we had to do some make readies. We had to evict several tenants, that weren't paying. And we had to, I think one of the, it had a couple of hot water heaters. One of the hot water heaters went out. We had to fix, you know, we had to get a new one in. And we had, this is like a big one, like a $5,000 hot water heater.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to fix the pool. The pool had a leak. That was about $3,000 to do that. But all in all, really didn't spend a whole lot of money. I sold it about a year later for almost twice that. of what I paid.
Oh my gosh.
And so that was my best deal ever, at least at the time, you know, just, I had done some other, you know, house deals, but I'd never done an apartment deal like this size and really, you know, made it work that great. I bought some other apartment deals since then. They've been really good deals, but not this good.
No doubt. So was this like a C-class that was like half occupied, or was it actually even nicer? I mean, $10,000 a door, that's cheap.
Yeah, it's a C-class property. It was, I would say it was probably 85% occupied, but several tenants needed to be evicted.
Yeah.
I think we evicted probably, you know, eight to 10 people, but got it, you know, once the management company, went in there and, you know, turned it around, I mean, it was moving along really good in probably about 5 months.
Wow.
It did not take a long time to turn around. So, you know, you're not going to find a deal like that every day. I mean, that's just one of those that, you know, just this great deal. I just happened to be very lucky to get it and, you know, close on it before anybody else did. So.
That's definitely right place, right time. But, you know, that's another good question then is, you being a hard money lender, are you, you know, rubbing shoulders with a lot of investors? Do you feel like you're seeing more deals come across your desk? Do you have more opportunity just because of the position you're in?
I think it's just time in the market. I mean, I've been, you know, I know a lot of people, I have a lot of contacts. I know a lot of the wholesalers in town that, you know, that get deals. The challenge right now is, I mean, I see a lot of activity, but it's just, I mean, I can't really buy them the way I want to buy them right now because the market is so strong and people are willing to pay way more for them.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's more investors in the market than there were in the past. And I think a lot of it's just a function of the market. The market's real strong. You're going to see more people wanting to get into the market.
Sure.
And, you know, it kind of happens incrementally over time. And then, you know, when the market finally takes a turn and you know, none of us have a crystal ball. We don't know when that's going to be. But when the market finally does take a turn, you know, I think there'll be more opportunities for deals you know, sometimes you just have to be patient and, you know, wait for the right deal to come across. So.
Well, it's like you said, you're sort of in the market cycle now where things are really good, demand's really high. So now for you, it's a good time to dispose of some of your properties, cash in, and probably sit tight and wait for the market, you know, to dip again and then jump back in.
Yeah, exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, that makes a ton of sense. So Mike, where can people find you? If they were interested in working with you in the Dallas market, what's a good website? How could people reach out to you?
Oh, sure. You can go to the letter M, like Mike, hardmoney.com. So imhardmoney.com or investmark, investmark, mortgage.com. Either one will get you to our website. And applying online is super easy. Takes less than 5 minutes. And we'll call you back same day or, you know, within the next business day.
And that is fantastic. Mike, man, thanks so much for being on the show. Guys, again, it's imhardmoney.com or investmarkmortgage.com. Definitely feel free to check out Mike. Mike, thanks again for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Ken. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Hey, Deal Farm podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini reminding you to check us out online at dealfarm.net. Feel free to download our free ebook, How to Invest in Real Estate. And do not forget, we still have our free t-shirt offer going. All you have to do to get a free Deal Farm podcast t-shirt is go into iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Once you've done that, go to our website, email us and let us know that you've done it. Give us your address and t-shirt size, and the t-shirt will be in the mail immediately. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Deal Farm. Take care.